All right, hey guys, welcome to the cast. Once again, it's Dizzo and
El Toro Loco, and we have a special guest this episode, Mark Anthony, formerly known as Fozzie from the Belrose section of Queens, New York, currently residing in Buffalo. Welcome to the show.
Cold-ass Buffalo.
Cold-ass Buffalo, yes.
What's up, guys? Having me on.
Awesome, awesome. So what's going on? What's going on, Dizzo?
Oh, nothing much. I know we haven't recorded in a couple weeks. Busy holidays and New Year's just passing. We're actually recording on New Year's Day, New Year's night.
So happy 2015 to all you listeners.
Yeah, happy 2015. We've made it to episode 11, I believe.
Yeah, we had a couple of half episodes there too. So I don't know exactly how. I don't know, 13 or 14 altogether.
Yeah.
Something like that. I have an interesting news here. Despite the fact that we get little to no interaction from our listeners, somehow by hook or by crook, the official Jerking the Curtain Twitter was followed by the official Twitter of ProWrestlingTees.com. I don't know how. I don't know.
Don't knock it. Absolutely not.
A couple of weeks ago, I got a notification on my phone that they were following us, and I was like, okay. So that's a little cool tidbit. Let me see what else. That's really it. I mean, we're still getting a good amount of listens and downloads from listeners on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher. Once again, if anybody, since we can only have a limited amount of uploads posted at a specific time, if anyone wants to listen to any of our earlier episodes, we're more than willing to upload them onto YouTube. Absolutely. As a sound file. Just let us know either via our Twitter, our official Facebook page, or our email account, which we will give all the information at the end of the episode for how you can interact with us. Again, other than that, you want to talk about Raw, guys? Raw?
Yes.
A good episode of Raw. I'm so happy.
Weeks and weeks.
Nothing to do with Daniel Bryan not retiring either. Which is probably the best news from Raw.
Yeah, I was actually, I remember I was looking around on Facebook and stuff that day, and they said Daniel Bryan have a special announcement that day, and I was a little worried.
I was a little worried too, but when they mentioned it on Raw, like Jerry Lawler said, he could end up retired like Edge, and I was like, I don't think he's retiring.
Yeah. Once again, Jerry Lawler's shitty commentary ruins everything.
By the by, speaking of Jerry Lawler, and it'll make you feel kind of, he's in the hospital for diverticulitis right now.
Well, don't worry, I've already made 3 or 4 jokes about that today.
So. Oh, never mind. Carry on. Your wayward son.
Well, him and Brock Lesnar can form a new tag team called the Brothers of Diverticulitis.
Yeah. Oh, maybe he finds I read this somewhere, this joke about it, where he finds Brock Lesnar's secret to monstrosity and just starts destroying people.
I said maybe it was caused by those awful t-shirts he wears every week.
Oh, speaking of just, you know, pouring shit on Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole, I don't know, Dan, I don't know if you heard it on Raw.
What's that?
Had the best line on Jerry Lawler in so long.
Oh, my God. What did he say?
In the beginning, in the opening segment, Christian and Edge are talking about the Peep Show. And Edge says something along the lines of, "The Peep Show, that sounds like something that only a pervert from the 1920s would watch." And Michael Cole, "Leave King alone."
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
So, and I'm not a big fan of Michael Cole, but props to him.
Right.
That so one. Then.
Oh, man.
So then the world must be ending because Michael, you just gave props to fucking Michael Cole.
Ooh, what a guy who legit, real life, my brother cut off in traffic after WrestleMania in Miami.
That's awesome.
No, not on purpose. He was driving like an asshole. My brother cut him off, and he's like, "I just cut off Michael Cole."
The guy who repeatedly referred to the last pay per view as TLC and chairs.
No, he didn't say that. I missed that.
Oh, he said it a lot on the pay per view.
Oh, yeah. Michael Cole.
A lot.
Michael Cole is Tony Schiavone without the history of our sport thing.
I feel like when he puts the headset on, like, he's pretty confident about what he's going to say, and then he gets, like, nervous and scared when it's got to be Vince McMahon in the back in his ear, or somebody, and he gets, like, scared and gets scatterbrained when somebody's like, "All right, talk about this," and he's like, "Oh!"
It's like that episode of The Simpsons with the spelling bee when Milhouse goes up and they go, "Okay, Milhouse, your word is choke," and he goes, "Oh, I got this, it's in the bag, F." That's Michael Cole on commentary.
In a nutshell.
He's the terrible, terrible person.
Yeah.
On commentary. He's 20 years, he can't do his fucking job right.
JBL, he's like hit or miss.
JBL is like, all right, he puts, how can I say this? He welcomed Bad News Barrett back in the best way possible, but once the authority comes in, he's so, like, I don't know if he's trying to be Heenan or Ventura with, like, siding with the heels, but he just sounds forced.
He's not being, I don't feel like he's being any of those roles. I just, half the time when I hear him on commentary, it seems like he just doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
He just seems very, I mean, I get it. I was like, because I'm mostly disinterested, but
yeah,
like, play a role, dude. Like, I don't know what role he's playing. Like, a lot of times he says some real stupid shit too.
Come
like,
on, Maggle, they're twerking. They're twerking, Maggle.
Like, he just wants to go back to the hotel and drink and intimidate the younger guys. You know?
The best thing about that is on TLC was who did Ziggler fight? Harper, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the ladder match, yeah.
Him and Michael Cole just kept taking turns being wrong. Like, one of them, I forget, it was him at the end of the match, like, This was the greatest Intercontinental Championship match. Then Michael Cole.
Oh, an interesting segue to the topic. Yeah. No, the Attitude Era had the best Intercontinental Championship matches.
You're absolutely correct.
Segway scooter.
What was it? He said something like Michael Cole said that the IC title debuted in like 1985.
1985. What, Tito Santana was the champion?
Everyone knows it was 1979 at the Rio de Janeiro tournament that Pat Patterson won.
Yeah, everybody just knows that.
there's
Google 2 seconds ago.
There's some grainy file footage apparently of that somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think I want to watch any kind of file footage or grainy file footage of Pat Patterson doing anything.
If you say Pat Patterson and grainy file footage, it's no go, dude. You can't.
Yeah, when it comes up.
It doesn't even sound right. My favorite thing about that Legends House is, like, the big reveal was Pat Patterson saying he was gay. Like, we all knew that.
But no, like everyone in the Legends House was like, "Oh my god, you're gay," and everybody watching was like, "A duh."
Oh yeah.
I had no idea he was gay. Really? So,
What happened in this? Before I get to the end segment, how did the Ascension debut? Like
the fucking Road Warriors and Demolition had bad children.
Really?
Yeah, they
they have shoulder pads and bondage gear.
In a sloppy match, and they just it's just like we died on danger, rah. It's terrible. I mean, he's no Mighty Mouse Adrian Neville, but, you know.
If they do that fucking gimmick, dude.
Oh, we gotta be so great. I mean, great, terrible thing. Not like I'm really looking forward to it, but it'd be like, I kind of want to see it out of a morbid curiosity.
I don't want to see it for his career, dude. Like,
yeah, no, I don't. But, like, because he does kind of look like a mouse a little bit if you think about it.
Yeah, look at those ears.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you put, like Mickey Mouse ears on him and a cape, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It would just be, like, it was just a bunch of people going, this is absolutely awful. Thank you.
So,
Took run, a cock and made a Mighty Mouse. Good job.
Run me through this end segment, because from what I saw, it's from what I read, it sounds fantastic. Seth Rollins is stepping on Edge's neck, saying he's going to paralyze him.
My original assessment of the end segment was Seth Rollins, A, doing the best heel mic work since he turned, goading John Cena with his hat, with his foot on Edge's neck, about to break his neck, said, I'm going to do it. You know, even after he brought the authority back, he's like, I'm going to kill him anyway, and it's a pretty good line. Yeah. But, and of course, you know, you bring Superman out to save the cripple. That's just a given. But let's look at this as strictly as WWE. Say it's a TV show that you're watching forever and ever, right?
Mm.
Now, I don't know about you, but if a guy went, oh, not my dad, I hate my dad, but if a guy went to your house and beat up your dad, would you respect him, you know, 10 years later because he's forced to retire from his job due to an unrelated incident?
No.
Kayfabe-wise,
John
Cena has no reason to ever say to anybody, oh, Edge is the best ever. Anything. He should have been like, break his neck. He beat the shit out of my dad. Go ahead and break his neck.
I did see the part when Christian made mention to that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And then that's another thing. Like, Christian takes a chair or a briefcase to the stomach and then is dead.
Well, dude.
Like, J&J Security holding him back or something.
Well, dude, He is. I believe it's been going around that he's retired now. So when you're retired, if you take a shot with a briefcase, it means you're fat and out of shape. And a shot with a briefcase is putting you down forever.
I'm just going to say this. I've never taken a wrestling bump in my life. I'm fat and out of shape. If I get hit with a briefcase in the stomach, I don't think I'm down for a 20-minute segment.
So Chris, are you saying that basically, if you're retired, you take a bump kind of like a ref does?
Yeah. So, I'm just saying, like, look at a guy like Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper fought battles. And then, like, you get him in the ring with a Piper's Pit segment. If you want to get heat on a guy, you have the guy punch Roddy Piper in the face. You punch Roddy Piper in the face, he just falls down and acts like his life's over.
He, in Roddy's defense, he is like 80, so.
Yeah, he's an old dude, but I'm saying, like, when you look when they were stars, like, they just take a beating and get up. And then as soon as you're like, okay, well, I'm done with wrestling, I'll hang out in the background.
Come to that point, I mean, look at Muhammad Ali. He used to, you punch Muhammad Ali right now, you got instant heel heat, and he's going to drop. Because you don't beat up a man with Parkinson's. I don't care what you say.
Well, maybe WWE needs to get on that, like, get some heel heat.
Dean Ambrose, turns some Muhammad Ali.
I need some Chris Jericho 2008 heel heat.
That would be great. Man, that was money.
Oh, man, I read his book. He legit punched Shawn Michaels' wife in the eye.
Really? Oh, Jesus. Yeah. He was on a podcast recently I listened to, and he told a story that when he was doing like that No Country for Old Men gimmick, like when he's wearing the suits and saying all the big words and stuff, that he went to WrestleMania or something like that. And he pulled in, he got in the elevator, and when he got in the elevator, it was a kid and his dad. And the dad was
I didn't hear that.
The dad was like, hey, how you doing, man? I was just wondering if I can get an autograph. And he was like, so I just stared straight ahead and didn't
see. It was in the book too. Yeah, he was the character the whole time.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to be the jerk.
Yeah.
Here's another interesting story. Well, to finish the Shawn Michaels one.
Go ahead.
He legit punched her in the eye, and he felt so bad because they mistimed it. When they rehearsed it, it came off right.
Right.
Yeah. But they mistimed it. Like, she leaned in a little more forward, and he went a little more longer with a punch.
Yeah. Right.
Punched in the eye. They went to the back. He's all worried. She's being stretched out. And she sits up. That all you got, Jericho?
That's awesome.
But there was one that was a house show overseas, I think, or maybe not because The Undertaker's involved, so I don't know the extent of his touring at the time. But he went out, he got his heat, and people started throwing bottles.
Yeah.
And he got hit. He got hit in the head with a bottle.
Yep.
And left the ring because he was pissed off at security. And he's like, I'm not going back out there. Where's Vince McMahon? I'm going to tell him I'm not going back out there. And Undertaker's just right behind him like, I'm sorry, what now? And he just like looks at him. He's like, he says in the book, he goes, if it was Vince McMahon, I would have argued. But with the Undertaker in my face, I took the zero. And he went back out.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, on this podcast, he told a bunch of stories about stuff like that where, like, said he was like, there's all this stuff that you can look up. He's one thing where he was at a show and he was leaving and people like freaked out on him and it looks like in the video he punched a girl in the face, but he actually pushed her.
Yeah,
so
that was
in
the book too.
He fucking tackled some dude to the ground. He's fucking screaming at security. He's like, do your fucking job.
Jerking the Curtain podcast, inadvertently brought to you by Chris Jericho's new book.
Right.
Chris Jericho's new book.
I have no idea.
His new book called Do Your Fucking Job.
Do Your Fucking Job, ref. Jeez.
What else? Oh, he was talking about when they went to England and one of the promotions was like some kind of glow stick type deal.
Yeah.
That he was in the ring talking and someone threw a glow stick and hit him in the back of the head and he goaded the crowd. He was like, if you're going to throw something at me, throw it at me in my face. And the whole they gave these things away. The whole crowd, like, littered the ring with fucking glow sticks.
That's match when Undertaker got set on fire.
What happened?
Okay. And Undertaker was the last guy in the match, and he's in the pod the whole time. Like, doused himself with water because he's burned on his back.
Yeah.
And there was a spot in the match where... Jericho had to put him in the walls of Jericho, and he whispers to Undertaker, he's like, you still want me to do this? He's like, yeah, man, yo, don't worry about it. So he's like, his back is blistering and everything. They do the finish. That's the one when Shawn Michaels interfered.
Okay, yeah.
And he goes after the match. Man. He goes in the back, and he sees Undertaker in Vince McMahon's office. I don't care who he is. I want him out of this building. If I see him, I'm going to kill him. I'm a big fan of the Undertaker, so any stories that can make him sound like the biggest badass in the world, I'm there for that.
Well, the Undertaker commands respect, dude, and that's why.
He looks like crazy old grandpa outside the makeup. But
Oh yeah. That's why a guy like Chris Jericho says. That's why a guy.
I met him at Access a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It was the highlight of my life because I'm not married or don't have kids, so that's the highlight of my life.
It's okay. I gotta say that if I met certain people, it would be the highlight of my life, and I do have children, so.
No. We'll keep that on the DL. Don't worry.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a podcast. It's recorded. It's recorded, but, you know.
Yeah. She does not listen.
Yeah, quiet down. what is it? It's like you said, like, the story you're telling where he's like, yeah, if it was Vince McMahon, I'd argue, but it was The Undertaker. Like, he commands respect, and that's why everybody in the locker, he's like the locker room leader. Like, you come in there and run people. I've heard countless stories about.
Yeah,
like,
I mean. What I heard, and I don't know how true this is to this day still, but what I heard is that, you know, people leave WWF and go to another company. They will talk, oh, fucking Cena over there sucks. And, you know, I fucking hate that Jericho dude. And Michaels was a big prick. But everyone's like, Undertaker? Ah, he's a cool dude.
Yeah, everybody loves him.
I think they're just scared. He's legit crazy, man, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he does. Did you see a recent picture of a man? Looks like he's going to die.
Like, did you get sick in the last year? What happened?
Yeah, right. I was like, last year you had a mohawk and you were you look
like you just came off a fishing trip.
Yeah.
Did you catch the blue marlin there?
you looked very tan last year. Like, you had a black beard and everything. What's going on?
Yeah, but you know what it is, like right before WrestleMania last year, like there was a picture like that, and then he comes in, and you're like, oh, he's that guy.
Like, oh, he's normal now. He's okay.
Yeah.
He got the diesel fucking the beard color.
Yeah. The Just for Men black fucking hair color.
You got the Just for Chokeslamming My Son on Christmas Eve.
I always thought in the last few years Kevin Nash's beard dye was called Just for the Royal Rumble.
Oh, also, no truth to the rumor that while chokeslamming his son on Christmas Eve, he tore a quad while doing so.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's just fine. He got suspended. Apparently, they were planning some kind of NWO or Click reunion on Raw.
They were going to do an old school Raw, and then they were going to do, like, it was going to be the first time they were all together, like Hogan and Hall, Nash, Whatever.
I heard something really interesting today. I was listening to a podcast with X-Pac on it, and he said the only thing that stopped a full DX reunion the last time they did that, that stopped China from being there, was China. Like, nobody has a problem with her. They don't even care. Like, I guess WWE doesn't even care that she's done porn or anything. They're like, the only person that stopped her was herself.
Hmm. You know, the sad thing about China is she looks more like a man than when she debuted.
Yeah, even after all that work, for sure.
She looked beat the fuck up, too. Like,
when she started getting the work and she was wrestling, and I guess she toned down, she started kind of looking more womanly. And then after she left, man, just went back to being a dude.
Hey, fuck it. I grew my penis back.
Like, I'm going to grow my clit dick back. I'm good. Yeah. So after we talked about all this, I guess all in all, Raw was good, huh?
Yeah, Raw was the best one, and it's the Raw to WrestleMania, so it's the 3 months out of the year they actually give a shit about their product.
Yeah, this is like the most exciting time of the year in wrestling for me, at least, because they seem like they actually try.
Yeah.
Like, story-wise.
The writers, I want this, and I think I said this to Dan, to the bull over there. Sorry, I don't want to tell people your real name.
You don't want to kayfabe me out, bro.
can we do Joseph Park? Kayfab?
You're breaking kayfabe, sir.
I don't know what that is. Are we in the 1912s carnival?
It's all good. I think
we've already broken yesterday. That. What were we talking about? I forgot.
With all these you're mentioning something that you mentioned Rumble? To the bowl yesterday.
Were we smoking up? What the hell? Why can't I remember this?
No, dude,
I remember now.
Okay.
The guy who wrote the NXT Revolution should be promoted to a Raw head writer.
Oh, absolutely.
Now.
Yeah, right now. One guy.
And Vince McMahon, for all that he's done, and I love him and respect him, and, you know, it's time to go, old man.
That's the problem. You have a room full of 20 guys doing because, Raw, and you got one guy. It used to be you say what you want about Vince Russo, but in any of his interviews, when they're talking about the writing process, so it was just him and Ed Ferrara in a room. It wasn't anybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The thing about, and here's the thing that's going to probably save Adrian Neville. Like, what I heard, and again, don't know if this is true because it's on the internet.
Yeah.
Is that they want to do a full Mighty Mouse gimmick with Neville with the cape and the ears and everything. And it's Triple H that's talking him to, like, just like a superhero-ish type, you know, who talked him down from the being overboard. And as much shit as Triple H gets for marrying the boss's daughter and all, not deserving a spot, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
This knows the business.
Triple H is a genius. Let's just put it out there.
He knows, dude.
He knows
how to connect with the fans. It's time for him to run.
What's that?
It's time for Triple H to take over Raw.
Oh, absolutely. All the people that say, like, you know, Triple H married into the business, he married her to eventually get his hands on a business, which I don't believe is true, because there's no way they'd be married this long and have all these kids and have a family.
Sham marriage? Nah.
Like, you can't, I'm just
saying. Look at them now, they legit love each other, you can see.
They do. They absolutely do. And anybody, even people I've heard in interviews that hate him, they all say that he knows the business, that he's an old school guy, but he has the future in mind.
Yeah, you know, he knows what it's like. Oh, did you there was a joke when Triple H and Stephanie were first getting married.
Yeah,
Triple H was tight with McMahon because of it. He said if they ever get divorced, Vince is really gonna miss Stephanie.
Oh shit!
And then you saw Edge's tweet to Seth Rollins.
What? Oh no!
You tweeted Seth Rollins. What?
Rollins tweeted about the end of Raw, about, you know, being in the ring with Edge and whatever.
Yeah.
And Edge tweeted him back saying, "There's the torch, kid. Don't drop it."
Oh yeah. I did. I saw that earlier, actually. Yeah. Man.
Hey man, Seth Rollins is prime, man.
Roman
Reigns, not so much.
I didn't know when they had the Shield going on, I didn't know, like, I knew Ambrose, like, when they let them all talk, I'm like, Ambrose is the guy.
Ambrose, well, yeah. Oh, my God. Ambrose was like, everyone was like, oh, yeah, this is the guy. This dude is crazy.
I always thought, and it's exactly how it is now, but I'm like, Roman Reigns has a look, but this dude this seems like he's dumb as rocks.
Yeah, believe that.
Believe that. Did you guys see that video where it's like JR commentary, like, by God, don't do it, and it's just Roman Reigns picking up a microphone?
Oh, man. That's so bad.
Who's practicing for an audition by going over the same line over and over in the back. He's like, believe that. Believe that. Believe that.
I just believe picture that. Him. I picture him with the script in his hand.
Believe this. Oh.
But I didn't know how they were going to. I know Seth Rollins is a good wrestler and everything. I mean, obviously, Tyler Black and ROH or whatever. I didn't know how they were going to handle him. Like, I knew, like, they weren't going to be a three-man group for
everyone's
whole run. And I go, I wonder how they were going to handle it. And turning him heel is probably the best thing they could have done.
I'm telling you, man, although, you know, of the three members of the Shield, Ambrose is the only one who's constantly killing it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That like, I didn't really – it took a while for me to get into Seth Rollins as a heel. Like, it took, like, 2 weeks – like, I think the second week after he turned, he cut a promo, and I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
And he's, like, been hit or miss, like, a lot of times.
If you're the one on Raw, if you find, get the chance to find it, watch it. It's really good heel mic work, in my opinion, anyway.
Here we go. I did see this, for real. I turned on Raw for 5 minutes, and I got to see a very emotional Ryback promo.
Oh,
God. Come on, guys. Are you fans of Ryback now?
No.
Somewhere in the back, people are like, why can't CM Punk call me out so I can get a passive-aggressive push?
Why? I feel like I got to give him some credit because I feel like I would have killed myself if during a tough enough competition I lost to The Miz.
No, Miz didn't lose. Daniel Puter won that.
Oh, Daniel Puter won, but they were like the final three, right?
Yeah, so there was some. No, it was four guys. Some black guy, I don't know.
I remember Daniel Puter, and then The Miz ended up being like a fucking talk show host or whatever, a fucking hype man for.
You ever see the find yourself the clip of the clip of Miz debuting trying to host SmackDown?
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful and it's awful.
My girlfriend's brother is a wrestler, and he made a tape of himself, like, going around and talk, like, kind of how Miz hosted SmackDown,
mm-hmm.
going around talking to the crowds and stuff. They almost hired him for that.
Oh, wow.
And
they just signed, from what I heard, like, UHA Nation?
Yeah.
They just signed, they just finally agreed to terms. I heard that today. I'm not sure. Really? Like I said, it's the internet, so.
Yeah, absolutely. What the hell was it? He's been an extra on Raw a lot. Like when they took Daniel Bryan out in the straitjacket, he was one of the orderlies.
Right.
And a couple times been a rosebud.
Yeah. Seth Rollins' old tag team partner Jimmy Jacobs was there as a rosebud.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Jimmy Jacobs. Yeah, I love that guy. Remember that weird? Remember when he, in ROH when he had that weird? When he was like that weird emo gimmick and he shot that video about the girl.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, you never saw it? You gotta look up his music video, too. It's so weird. So weird, dude.
Wow.
Ryback,
yeah. Woo!
He has no personality.
That's not true. He's actually a legit funny guy. He doesn't know how to promote it.
If he put the passion into the promo, like, I felt like he was just kind of like, I'm reading off a piece of paper.
Cut off the Ryback voice.
Huh?
Just talk to him as Ryan Reeves, man. Just be like, hey, you know, this is my life, you know?
Yeah.
3 years ago, this happened, and I got this scar. You know, he's connected. I mean, don't get me wrong. They did a good job of building him as a sympathetic babyface, because now, you know, you make weaknesses, and, you know, It's just a defensive Rusev anyway. It doesn't matter.
I cared more about the video package than him talking, though. Like, the video package, really. It was good. It was put together.
It was Scott Steiner, I love Puerto Ricans because they saved my life.
Oh, Scott.
You ever see that promo?
No, I love Scott Steiner.
Oh, man, it was great. He's like, because he had a heart trouble in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Doing a match, so they had to, he almost died.
I wonder why he had
hurt. He comes back to the States and is like, I like to thank the Puerto Ricans. He's like, what?
That's trachea deal.
That's why he's got the tattoo on his heart from that.
Oh, Scotty.
Because I think it was, let me see.
I used to love that guy. I used to think, dude, he was my favorite guy to use in WCW versus the world. I love the Steiner brothers forever.
Steiner brothers were a ridiculous tag team.
Yeah, they were awesome.
Yeah, but Scott Steiner, once he lost his mind, go back and watch his old promos, man. They're fucking wonderful.
Those promos are fantastic. Like, I feel like they're a little ahead of their time. Like, people are just like, what is wrong with this guy? But I feel like it's kind of ahead of its time a little bit. Even though, like, a lot of shit, he was just saying the most...
He's like the dumbest, like, Harry, hey, pop a pop, rah, holler if you hear me. What?
What? That was amazing.
I love when he went after, when he went out on Nitro and went after Ric Flair.
Oh, that was awesome.
Talked about Stone Cold being on WWF. That was ridiculous.
That was probably the most coherent promo he cut as the Big Bad Booty Daddy.
Right.
Big Bad Booty Daddy.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think what you're alluding to is he had a serious throat injury in Puerto Rico, and then he couldn't fly, so he had to take a cruise ship back to...
Did you just Google again?
I did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that was it.
It's our research and development.
Yeah, listen, you got to understand something. When you hear the clicking of the keys, that's just research and development, man.
Oh, R&D. I didn't know there was an R&D department in here.
Yeah, we're kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal.
Get your kids to be the interns. Come on.
So, I guess we're going to take a break now, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right
back. All right.
All right, we're back.
Wow.
That was like quick, right? It's like nothing happened. Hey, now.
That was restful.
I'll explain that. I'll explain that later.
I understand.
You get it? All right. Since we rambled on and we talked about Raw, I guess, but this is just how this show goes.
It's short attention span theater.
Yes. We talk about anything and anything. Everything that pops in our mind. Like, I have wrestling ADHD, so.
We have a podcast? What?
Yeah, I think I'm recording.
Podcast?
So I guess we get into the main topic of the night, which is the Attitude Era.
Attitude Era.
We can really go anywhere. I mean, you can start wherever you want. I mean.
The Attitude Era was the best, man.
Yeah, all right, segment over.
Let me tell you something about the Attitude Era. I was talking to the bull guy.
The bull guy.
The bull guy over there.
The bull guy.
And I love the Attitude Era. Do not get me wrong. I was 18 years old in 96.
Yep.
It was appealing to me. It was what I was doing. Raw and Nitro both were killing it consistently. After 98, obviously, when... X-Pac, how does that happen? X-Pac returns and all of a sudden you're better. That's like irony right there.
that was his best promo ever, by the way.
Oh, Sean Waltman.
Because he realized people still get it.
Yeah.
Not anymore. But
that
sort of spoiled us.
I think. Very much.
And it masked a lot of bad.
It did, yes.
Because you can go, as for every time you can go, oh, Austin, The Rock, The Undertaker, you got Steve Blackman. You know, head cheese.
What the fuck is wrong with that? Yo, what was wrong with head cheese, dude?
Pirates ever did ever.
What was the problem with head cheese?
Well, it was a goofy gimmick that just kind of like, you know, that cartoon. If it was done now, they'd be like, what the fuck is this shit?
They did a lot of that
but
shit.
But it doesn't happen in the Attitude Era. It was so good. You see that?
Well, I would never say it was so good.
But no, that's the reaction side. Even the bad stuff, you go, oh, that's classic stuff right there. But if it happened now, you'd be like, this is awful. This PG, man. What's going on? Head cheese would work in a PG era, just saying.
Even the people that didn't live it, they would say that about it. They'd be like, oh, that was great. Because it was
didn't live the Attitude Era pissed me off the most because, shut up. That's all. Come on.
I did notice that when I, before the network and stuff, I'd go on YouTube and, try to scour YouTube for, toward the beginning of the Attitude Era or the end of whatever their fucking new generation bullshit was.
Yeah.
And I did notice.
Oh, man. It's basically, we have no steroids left. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. So, Bret Hart, you're the champion because we don't have any steroids left.
Until WrestleMania 9 when you just allow Hogan to avenge your loss for you.
So, watching old episodes of Raw and stuff, I did notice that, a lot of it was shit. And especially when they were, in that middle phase where they didn't know what the Attitude Era was yet, they were
Goldust.
Yeah, they'd have fucking Jabroni 1 and Jabroni 2 wrestle each other, and they'd have, couple shitty gimmicks come out. And then, basically, when you watch these early episodes where it's it's just Steve Austin making himself making the character. It's all you're waiting for. Everything else in between is boring and shitty.
Here's the thing that makes me a little mad. You're in the Attitude Era, you get Vader in the middle of the Attitude Era and you don't remember him for anything other than being a tag team with Mankind. You know?
Yeah,
well,
once
that one
started
Shawn Michaels, and they had to
restart
the match.
Once he started getting the ball rolling, I don't know what happened with Vader.
Vader fucked himself up because they were in Kuwait and decided to go crazy on one of the announcers.
That's when he punched the guy in the face.
Yeah,
right?
And he was gonna get the main event push too.
And then he was like a fucking goof off for the rest of the time he was there, right?
But that's always been their MO. Is they taking these big, huge guys from WCW not doing much with them.
The producer knew that, the producer was playing a joke on the host, and I was actually listening to Vader on one of Austin's podcasts, I think, and he said that the producer wanted to play a trick on the host, but Vader thought the host was in on it. Whether that's legit answer or not, I don't know. But apparently he wasn't because the host was highly upset.
Yeah, well, you just can't. I mean, no matter what, you can't do shit like that.
Right.
When you're I wouldn't say he was a huge public figure, but he was a public figure.
Right.
It spoiled people because, you know, you hear people, I want blood in this match, blah, 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 blah. You don't need blood to tell a good story.
No, yeah. They are.
It'd be nice. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. If there was a little bit, hey.
For
you don't want to rip Blair off our head, but, still.
For every Rock Austin rivalry, for every Undertaker Mankind rivalry, you also, on the other hand, you also had Jeff Jarrett versus China in a good housekeeping match. You know what I'm saying?
Please don't ever mention that again.
I'm sorry, but I feel like it gets the point across.
Oh yeah, no, it does. It does. You have the Boss Man and Big Show.
I can't talk about that without laughing, please.
Boss Man versus Undertaker, and I love the Undertaker, but that was not good.
You also have Boss Man versus in the Kennel from Hell match.
Oh my God, where the dogs were shitting along ringside.
Yeah. Where the culmination of that feud was. Big Boss Man feeding Al Snow's dog to him.
Oh my god.
You know.
That was a lot of like Vince McMahon's
one, in the beginning, I feel it was like a lot of hit and miss to see what would stick.
I also feel like something that was crude became successful. So Vince McMahon's like, just how crude can I get? And they start throwing things out like kennel matches and like, all right, boss man, here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna steal Al Snow's dog and then you're gonna cook it up and feed it to him. How does that sound? I mean, look at him in that fucking Beyond the Mat movie, dude. Losing his mind. You're gonna puke.
That's and, the big you know, push. Somewhere in the back of the mind, you know, Al Snow and Bossman are like, yeah, we'll do that, because at least we're not talking to a mop like Saturn.
Yeah. Right. Dude. Right. None of those guys were gonna say shit, because at the height of them being on the mid-card, undercard, Austin and Rock were making all the money, so they're getting fucking paydays. They're like, we'll go in the middle of the ring and take a shit all over
it. I'm trying to eat a chihuahua. I got no palms. Eat a chihuahua to get some of that money.
Did you want me to really kill a chihuahua? Because I will, and I'll
grab that Taco Bell dog and eat him like a fucking Crunchwrap.
Yeah, I'll totally do it. I'll totally do it. What's the payday? All right, sounds good.
Sweet, awesome.
That's about me. Mark Anthony, I'll do it. Let's get part of that payday.
Let's book it. Let's
look at Mae Young. Mae Young birthed a hand on TV.
Mark Henry. Oh my God, is there anybody more redeemed than Mark Henry?
That poor guy. He took everything.
I mean, Addison Rae was the worst Mark Henry because they gave him shitty gimmick after shitty gimmick after shitty gimmick, and then all of a sudden they go, "Hey, Mark, yes, you're a big black guy. Yes, I am. You want to just start throwing people around? Yeah, sure. All right."
Man, this is what I always wanted to do.
it's the part I was born to play.
Dude, it's when he started that Hall of Pain thing, dude, I was on board. I liked that. That was good.
Yeah, and when he threw the sound technician over the board, I was cracking up.
Dude, that was awesome.
But like that's it, Mark Henry was sexual chocolate. Mark Henry was tagging with Lil Brown.
I couldn't believe they made a big guy like that, like just a joke all the time. It was just weird to me.
Yeah, it's like, you know. Or it's like Man of the People fought too, trying to make a difference.
How come the
Portuguese Man of War couldn't make it in the Attitude Era?
He had a fucking jockstrap on his face.
Peter Polacco.
How come Godfather couldn't get over his quang? Or not quang, Kama, the ultimate fighting machine.
Or Papa Shango?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's the best gimmick.
Don't
Papa Shango now.
No, Chris, don't sell Savio Vega short. He did that himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry, Savio. My bad, Savio Vega, who only claimed to fame as having a fucking rope match with Steve Austin.
And don't forget, he was leader of the Los Barriquas, who introduced us to the fabulous sweater that is Miguel Perez's back.
That's one hell of an ugly Christmas sweater.
I didn't know Christmas sweaters came with nipples. What the hell?
I didn't know
you were wearing the Sasquatch sweater for Christmas. I forgot about that guy.
So, I didn't forget about that guy. He looked like there was a full moon every time he wrestled, man.
He looked like he was holding back from going full werewolf every time he came out.
Like, you never go full werewolf, man.
At least not in public.
I was talking to Mark last night about the Attitude Era.
Hey, man, kayfabe. Mark Anthony, thank you. Mark
Anthony, oh yeah, because half of the name, you know, that's... Yeah.
It's my kayfabe name, okay?
that's a lot of effort put into that one, brother.
Tell us about it, the ball.
It's just an extension of myself as a character.
I think in all facets of the Attitude Era, WCW, ECW, and WWF, I think competition breeds creativity amongst all of them. They kind of strived each other to raise the bar.
But when WCW was bought out by Vince McMahon, you know, as a big fan of WWF my whole life, I know there's a lot of people who the fans of WCW in the Mid-South and all that stuff. But I was like, yeah, right, this is going to be great. Then it kicked in. No, it's not, because we have nobody to go against. We can rest on our laurels for 12 years, which they did with John Cena. Love it now.
No, man, I love John Cena.
I'm watching Jeff Jarrett matches. Even Jeff Jarrett was like, I don't know what's going on in my career. Jeff Jarrett was never a world champion. He was a world champion in WCW, and they had to fucking buy a company. He's a workforce guy's company. He's this top guy.
I just listened to an interview today with Jeff Jarrett. It sounds like he, after whatever, how many years wrestling, he finally has his shit together with this Global Force Wrestling thing, too. The way he's marketing it and stuff like that, and his plan for it, it actually sounds like if what he says is what's going to happen, it sounds really good.
If Vince McMahon bought WCW and was like, I'm never gonna ever hire Jeff Jarrett again. So that's the way he's the one guy he singled out.
Jeff Jarrett had to go into business for himself, obviously, after that.
Jeff Jarrett, man, he's terrible. He's just
he was
the Jeff Jarrett of wrestling. He's just terrible.
He was a decent mid-card guy.
His character would never work as a main event anywhere else other than falling down WCW or his daddy's company.
The only thing he changed when he went to WCW to become a champion is he started calling people slap nuts.
Yeah, what the hell is that about?
I don't know what that was.
Is there that stupid Russian leg sweep thing?
Dude, even when it was like I was younger and everything they did in the Attitude Era when I was like 14 or 15 when that started, so I thought everything they did was awesome. I made fun of Jeff Jarrett all the time. He called the dumb shirt on. They'd come out and say fuck, bitch, ass, and bullshit. And this idiot comes out of the shirt. This is my gimmick shirt. Don't pee star me off.
Wait, don't punk me off? No.
Don't pawn me off. That's what he's. Yeah, that was his personal message to Vince.
To the road dog.
Like, I don't know what his role was. Like, I don't know what he thought. Like, he thought he was extra special during that time. Yeah. Like, he wasn't going anywhere past the mid-card, ever.
No, not WWF, because, well, A, they were loaded at the time.
Yeah, they were loaded.
You know, even if, like, you know, it was Jeff Jarrett. Look, here's the perfect example you need to know about Jeff Jarrett. He was there before the Attitude Era started, and he couldn't get out of the mid-card.
Exactly.
Okay. He was the Intercontinental Champion and not even a good one.
If the blue
Nobody cared about Jeff Jarrett.
If the blue chipper could get more over than Jeff Jarrett in like a week. Because dude, I don't want to throw up and now I fucking crack up laughing at it. Like the Rock's first match. Jim Ross. It was like Jim Ross and Pat Patterson went in the back and fucked him first.
I was there live for his debut in Survivor Series.
And Jim Ross was like the only person that came out of that three-way happy. Because he was like, there it is! They tagged him in! It's the Blue Chipper! The Blue Chipper! Rock Maivia! Oh, Rocky's
pretty happy. Coming out. Rocky Maivia! I was there. It was a fun experience, man. You guys never been to Madison Square Garden for a wrestling show? Do it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a bucket.
Dude, the guy had they were very high on him. Your debut is Survivor Series in Madison Square Garden, like you said. And I mean, he went out there smiling. I mean, I don't know if I'd be able to hold back a huge grin the whole time I was out there.
Yeah. But here's the difference between the Attitude Era now or then with that with The Rock and Cena. Because they're going to always be compared.
Yeah.
When Rocky Maivia was getting pushed down our throats and it was a chance of die, Rocky, die, you suck, kiss my ass, all that stuff, what'd they do? They turned him fucking heel and had him beat the shit out of everybody.
Well, John Cena will never.
He went out, got married, came back, and just started rock bottoming people and became like a superstar.
Yeah.
John Cena has been booed for like 6 years continuously at the top of the card.
And he like accepts
at
it.
At least 6 years.
First.
You know,
if he could turn that, dude, if he could take that thing where he like comes out and he's indifferent, like where he's like, I know people are going to boo me. If he took that and turned it up like the fucking 10 or 11 or 12, like that's heel. Like you could, the things he does makes him a heel already.
He's a big jerk.
Exactly.
He's a giant jerk. You know how you change you. Well, now I don't know how they would do it so seamlessly, but you know how you can make John Cena heel without changing his character or his reactions at all?
How so?
You put him with the Authority because he's already a company guy. He's the face that runs the place, man.
This is true. Which I didn't understand that. Like when the hell was it? He became champion, or didn't he become champion while they were in power for a minute?
Yeah, he just won.
He won that. He won some match where he was like number one contender, and I don't understand why they were upset. Like,
he won the Money in the Bank or some shit. I remember.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't understand why they're upset. Like, that guy's the real. Like,
oh no, John Cena won again. I'm so mad at this. Maybe he was just mimicking the crowd reaction.
Triple H just stone faces like everyone else in the crowd.
Like, I can't believe Vince booked this shit.
Triple H is like, this wasn't my plan. Who changed it? That damn Vince.
You can rewrite. God damn it.
Vince foiled me again.
I'll get you next time.
He's fucking Triple H is Dr. Claw.
I can see Vince McMahon as Inspector Gadget, just a fucking guy who's just lucking into like success.
Speaking of like Triple H and stuff, like the Attitude Era made a record number of people in the wrestling business.
Well, maybe
you think maybe
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the '80s because you know
the '80s were the '80s.
Talking about that. WA in the territory has made a bunch of people.
Oh, absolutely. Like, but
you know, but if we're going to stick to WWF, the 80s, you had Hogan, Savage, Slaughter, Ricky Steamboat. Yeah, you're right. Andre the Giant, Million Dollar Man.
Even Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Santa Claus.
Even he has a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Yeah. RVD as a kid, getting punked by the Million Dollar Man.
Yeah.
But
think of that terrible
thing. It was Rock Hudson, Undertaker, you know, Triple H, DX, all those guys. Michaels, who gets credit for the Attitude Era, didn't wrestle in the Attitude Era.
No, this is true.
How do you think about it? Like, you're like, man, where did Shawn Michaels, why did Shawn Michaels leave? Like, and then you're like, he's a genius.
You know, like,
I mean, right obviously before, like, he left to, real, like, real
life. Kicked off the day after he lost to Austin.
Yeah.
I guess because that's the unofficial start of the Attitude Era is when Austin won the title.
Yes.
And Shawn Michaels didn't come back to 2002. The Attitude Era was done. They were doing, you know, whatever. What was it after the Attitude Era? What they call it? Shitty fucking wrestling era?
Ruthless Aggression Era?
And Shawn Michaels came back to that.
Oh, yeah. That was so weird when he came. I remember being a really weird time when he came back.
I remember going to that match, too, live. Yeah.
You went when he came out. You went to the show when he came. Wait.
In Long Island or.
Hold on a second.
Spade Garden or even like Boston or somewhere we would go to.
Yeah, so you went to the show when he came out with poopy brown tights and short hair?
Yeah, but remember we go like, you want to go to SummerSlam this year? Yeah, maybe we'll go to SummerSlam. They announced Triple H versus Shawn Michaels. Oh, we're going to SummerSlam.
Yeah. I remember being really upset when they were teasing the DX reunion and fucking Triple H pedigreed him.
Oh,
I was so pissed, dude. I was so fucking
pissed. Man. Yeah, I remember watching. I just happened to catch that live, and I was like, "No!"
What about that time when all DX showed up at once, and then later Triple H turned heel and joined the corporation?
Oh yeah, it's fucking awesome. Triple H is fucking awesome. For like night, he had the standout matches with the Rock. What? No, I'm sorry.
Dude, solid, man. Like, I just love the WWE's revisionist history. Triple H was the greatest star in the Attitude Era.
Okay, no. I don't know about that.
Calm down there, dudes. Austin.
Let's settle down.
Then you hold can put on,
your guys. Honestly, like, it was the right time for him. Like, I'm not going to take away. He had really good matches with The Rock, like mid-card matches when they were fighting over the Intercontinental title. But when it came time for Triple H to step up, he stepped up, you know?
Oh, yeah, no. Don't get me wrong. Let me three faces of Foley promo he cut.
Yeah.
When they were feuding. Yeah. He was cutting promo as Mankind, and he's like, oh, I'll fight you as Mankind. And he's like, no. I'll fight you as Dude Love, Daddy-O. And they're like, nah. And he comes out as fucking Cactus Jack. Yeah. I was at that show, and the fucking crowd popped huge, and it doesn't work if Triple H doesn't sell it like he saw a fucking right? ghost.
Dude, his facial expression sold that whole thing.
He was just like, nope, I don't want that guy.
I don't want any part of that.
This guy with the bandana, I want him.
And then, right? And it's funny because then what was it, Royal Rumble 2000, when he retired fully?
Yeah, the first
time. He was like, fucking Cactus Jack, bring that shit on, bitch.
Yeah, no, he was.
He was still was like.
Those feuds where they make, you know, two guys just clash. I mean, they connect instantly, and you can tell they can have classic matches.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I would love a Ziggler-Rusev feud forever.
What?
Their matches are great. Because Ziggler sells his ass off. By the way, I know the Royal Rumble, I don't know how the plans are going to go. It's probably set in stone that Roman Reigns is going to do the Rumble in the WrestleMania victory.
I hope so.
Man, if Daniel Bryan didn't come back and they put Ziggler in that spot that Bryan was in last year,
yeah,
Ziggler versus Brock Lesnar gets 4 stars automatically by announcing it.
Yeah, oh yeah. Dude, I like to compare Ziggler to Bret Hart in the 90s where, like, a punch in the face and all of a sudden it would look like he had a 60-minute match and he was going on his deathbed.
Ziggler would die in the, not literally.
Yeah, no, I know.
Offense. But the thing is about Ziggler and Brock, if you want to do that match at WrestleMania and put Ziggler over and finally give him that shot that, you know, he wants.
Yeah.
That a lot of people think he deserves. You cannot have him beat him with the zigzag.
Yeah. Oh no, he needs something else.
With a shitty fucking finisher like that.
Yeah. I noticed that lately when they're building guys. They all have shitty finishers, dude.
You gotta super kick the shit out of Brock Lesnar.
And I don't know about Ziggler versus Brock Lesnar if they're gonna put Ziggler over because I think Brock Lesnar will concuss fucking Ziggler too.
That being said, Bryan versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. I mean, any guy that they're building up could be made. Like a David versus Goliath type situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless it's Cena, who's fucking.
Cena is David and Goliath in the same character.
Yeah, he's both.
I don't understand. I can't overcome. Can Cena overcome these odds? Yes!
We know he can. Yes! We've seen it 4,000 times.
Right. Can he beat these two guys at once? I've seen him AA Edge and Big Show at the same time. I'm pretty sure he got this.
That was the thing. He fucking, on a TLC pay-per-view, he fucking AA'd Seth Rollins and one of the fucking J&J guys. That would have been cool if I didn't.
Guys at the same time.
That would have been cool if I didn't see him pick up a 500-pound guy and a 250-pound guy.
J&J security, they don't weigh as much as the Big Show does by himself.
Yeah. One of those guys doesn't even weigh as much as Edge, so I don't care.
Come on. What? Oh, he picked up Jamie Noble and put him back to where his career was. All right.
This is also what I'm saying. Like how I was saying before, like a guy that's really not wrestling or on TV, the guy takes a briefcase shot and lays down for 20 minutes. Okay, Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury are some pretty decent wrestlers. John Cena punches them in the face and they fucking jump over the top rope.
Well, John Cena has Superman punch. I mean, you give credit to Roman Reigns, but John Cena is Superman.
John Cena has that glass ceiling punch.
Yeah, only John Cena can break through. He's got, well, you understand. John Cena punches with brass rings in his hand.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So in 10 years, who are we going to be talking about? Like we talk about
John Cena.
No, I'm saying, listen, in 10 years, when John Cena decides to become a part timer, who is the guy that we're going to be talking about like this?
As John, like the sick of the
bullshit? Yeah, who's the next guy we're going to be tired of?
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
Does it have to be a WWE?
I don't see Roman Reigns having. Truthfully, I don't see Roman Reigns having a long career.
Roman Reigns has to cut a decent promo to earn my respect. Otherwise, I like him. I like him, man.
Oh, Roman Reigns has to have a decent match without Seth Rollins in it. You earn my respect.
Honestly, I hope that if it's a guy just in professional across the board, WWE, I think probably Bobby Roode. I think I would like to get sick of hearing about Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode?
Yeah, he'd like to get sick of hearing about Bobby Roode.
He's not going to be around in 10 years because he's almost 40 now.
Yeah. He was born in like 77 or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, maybe 5 years for him, but
I'd like to see him get a run, man. Something.
I can't wait though. In 10 years, when we're talking about the best and worst of TNA, the rise and fall of TNA.
Yeah, because the company's closed. That's what we'll be talking about.
The self destruction of TNA.
When WWE buys them and makes that DVD.
Oh, man. And then changes the history. John Cena was the first TNA champion.
Where every time they have like one of their pay-per-views on there and Jeff Jarrett's in a King of the Mountain match, they fucking pan back so you can't really see him like they do to Benoit.
No, they give Jeff Jarrett the Chris Benoit treatment.
That's what I was saying. they pan out so you can like hardly see him.
Yeah. Jeff Jarrett, wait. What? Said nobody ever.
Dude, do you remember? Yeah. Do you remember when, what was it? Didn't Chris Benoit, Randy Orton, and Triple H have like a triple threat for the title?
Mm-hmm. No, it was the Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and. Shawn, Triple H, and Chris Benoit.
Benoit, yeah.
Okay, so you may remember it as that match where the title went missing until SummerSlam that year.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. So speaking of that, there's like a WrestleMania card or something where it gives a brief synopsis of the match, and it talks about Triple H, it talks about Shawn Michaels, and it's like, oh yeah, you know, these two warriors, Shawn Michaels and Triple H, fought valiantly, but the other guy was the victor. Like they
are
you kidding me?
In the pursuit.
And now there's
Brock gets a lot of shit for not being around, but that title, you know, didn't exist from WrestleMania to SummerSlam in that one year. you know, there was a non-existent champion then.
It's weird when you watch anything with Chris Benoit on the network that it says like a parental advisory before the show. Yeah, it's so weird.
It's kind of dumb to do that, but at the same time, I understand why he did it.
He's not murdering anybody on the show, so
that's what I'm saying. Like,
see, I noticed they literally do that with like a bunch of random stuff that Chris Benoit's not even on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, it's also because of the PG and because they're a public company now, they have to, you know, the attitude era was a different era. So I was like, this is what we used to believe in.
Yeah,
it's like born again Christians. This is don't look at these tapes. You don't want to know what I was like.
Speaking of born again Christians and TNA, I stumbled upon the monstrosity of awfulness, King's Moment of Truth movie, and they did a choreographed match in this movie, this biographical film about Sting, where
I heard about that.
Yeah, and in this, they had a choreographed match in within the movie where Sting beat Abyss for the WCW title.
Oh, I remember that classic match.
This was ridiculous. I mean, don't waste your money if you want to waste an hour and a half for movies on. So I'm not gonna
pick it up again.
They're 85 minutes.
All right. If I knew what you said, if I knew anything that you said there, I'd probably have something to say about it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, man, I agree with all your broken points. With Stephen Hawking has joined the podcast.
I agree with all your. I agree with all of
I have to make this point, and I'm only going to make this point once. Understand me?
Call dropped. Oh, man.
You just got to grab that brass ring, man.
Yeah.
Through work through the bad sound troubles.
John Cena's not just going to hand it to you.
No.
Yeah, so, you know, we got lost again, right? So we were talking about the Attitude Era, and we just talked about whatever.
Yeah.
I think we're done with the Attitude Era. We talked enough about it.
It was great, and it sucked at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I believe that's the main...
An old lady.
Yeah. I believe it's the main point of this conversation was, yeah, everybody wants the Attitude Era back or wants to relive the Attitude Era, but when you relive it on a network or a DVD, they're only showing you the best stuff.
Yeah. Right.
They're not showing you, like, I mean, even I, for a minute, I was brainwashed by it. I'm like, wow, everything they did was fantastic because I was watching all these DVDs back, and I'm like, wait a minute. No, it really wasn't.
Calm down there, Rockabilly.
Yeah. Yeah. Settle down. Settle down, the one Billy Gunn.
Settle down, Jockstrap O'More. Aldo Montoya.
Listen here, I say Rios.
Don't get crazy, Furnace and LaFon.
Chill out, fake Diesel.
Yeah. Rick Bogner.
Oh, that the great Rick Bogner. I remember his classic matches.
He was so great.
All three of them.
Heel Jim Ross.
The best of Rick Bogner, 3 DVD set.
Is there one match on each DVD?
he just does bad Razor Ramon impressions. Which is a bad spot. Hey, Chico. He doesn't have an accent. He's like, hey, Chico.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo.
Hey, you.
I am.
Get your damn hands off of her.
I am El Jefe. That's how you say it, right?
Hold on. Come on, let me do another take.
He's like, okay, guys. It's survey taking time.
Yeah, imagine if
get your hand buzzers ready.
Imagine if you just went straight
to WCW.
Yeah, imagine if like a fake Razor Ramon just turned into Scott Hall. Like he came out just like Razor, but did the survey shit.
Oh man.
Oh fuck that guy. I can't believe Scott Hall wasted his life like that.
You know, but good for him for finding redemption.
Yeah.
Good for DDP for doing that shit, too.
Yeah, DDP's... That's a good guy, man. He's a good guy. Yeah.
If you got a chance, listen to his story, man.
He saved Jake the Snake's life, too, and that's another guy I used to like when I was a kid a lot, man.
Absolutely.
Did you see the thing he did for the like just that it was like a guy like couldn't walk and shit, he was like in the Marines or something like that, or he was like a veteran?
One on the website, the paratrooper?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that guy's the smallest guy now. He's on the yoga DVDs.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's crazy.
I'm thinking about doing some DDP yoga and then
dude, it's fucking fantastic.
It is.
As far as I get, thinking about it, though, you know.
That's most of the yoga plans.
Yeah. It's cool.
New year, new you, though.
Yeah. New year, new me, guys. I'll post it on Facebook. I'll post it on Facebook so you can click the like button.
There you go.
1,000 likes equal 1,000 prayers. Please pray.
don't scroll past this without typing RIP.
Oh, man.
That's the new thing that makes me sick.
Don't scroll past this without typing amen.
Yeah. Dude, that's the new thing that makes me sick, dude.
I was religious, I would scroll past it.
This is like Photoshop dead baby, and they're like, don't scroll past this without saying RIP. Like, I'm going to scroll past it. This is disgusting.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like,
ah.
That's the thing, like guilt shaming like people on social media. I don't understand that, man.
And don't listen. The thing is, don't shame me with Photoshop. Totally don't shame me with Photoshop. Don't shame me with Photoshop. That's my
absolutely.
If it's real, that's sad. But I'm not gonna fucking. My like is not gonna make that person live.
There's a picture of Jesus with his laptop, and it says, "I can't." It's so funny. Only 900,999 likes. I guess I gotta kill that kid with cancer.
Oh man, that's so messed up.
Did you guys? I always see this at random churches on like the billboards. Do you know God answers knee mail?
Oh man. Who are we?
Every once in a while, like there's like so many churches around here. I see that on their billboards. So corny.
Anyway, wrestling.
Yes, wrestling. We were talking about wrestling, weren't we?
Bringing it back. Bringing it back.
So
you should edit out the religious commentary. Just saying.
I don't give a shit. I'm not editing. I don't edit shit.
Never mind then.
Continue. Oh, well. We didn't say anything. I don't remember. Were we talking about religion? I don't even remember.
Wasn't Jesus one of the... One of the, what you call it? Puerto Rican guys?
Yeah, he was.
I can't remember the name now. Los Boricuas? There we go.
Dude, he was a Los Boricuas. Jesus! We were saying his name wrong. We're horrible people.
Jesus.
shit, I lost my research. But, this week in wrestling history, the one thing that I can remember now off the top of my head was, the infamous Tony Schiavone, Mick Foley putting the butts in the seats that lost WCW their viewers forever.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Triple H's return in the Garden.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 2002.
I'm going to give a shout out to Brandon Stroud. Who gave me the joke before about the passive aggressive push of Ryback? I read it in one of his columns. He writes for the best
awesome.
Brother with Spandex.
It's awesome.
He didn't give it to me. I stole it from him. But
I didn't give it to you.
Due to his writing, I know this week in wrestling history on Nitro, Eddie Guerrero fought Steven Regal in a good match.
You know what?
It was good. I watched it on the network. It's a pretty decent match. It's a really, really, really good match.
Yeah. You'll never know about any of the good matches from WCW because they constantly pushed fucking Hulk Hogan and fucking every other mid undercard nobody dude that joined.
Oh my god! You know what we forgot to mention about the Attitude Era?
What's that?
The best about the Attitude Era.
What?
The Finger Poke of Doom.
Oh.
How did we forget that?
Yeah, that really put the Attitude Era over the top.
You're right though.
I will that say was
we give up.
I will say
we're done.
I think, and you know what? Someone do the research. I think that might be this week in wrestling history. To be honest,
I believe it is.
It was January.
It was, right? Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Also, too, we can't forget this month in wrestling history. Royal Rumble 1999 was it? The Rock versus Mankind.
Oh, Jeebus.
And what 13? Shots to the head unprotected by his handcuffs.
Was that the same Royal Rumble where Austin was like fucking Vince McMahon was in the goddamn Rumble like four times?
Maybe.
That's a wonder like they were really like didn't Vince McMahon
because that was right before Big Show debuted.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
what Rumble was it 98 or 99? Vince McMahon like won the fucking Royal Rumble or something.
It was 99, I think.
Yeah.
98, Austin won it because that's when he beat Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, that's when he beat Shawn Michaels. Yeah, I just remember I recently watched the one where fucking Vince McMahon won the Royal Rumble. It was really weird.
Vince McMahon bought ECW and became the ECW champion to go fuck you to Paul Heyman.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I remember I really did. I didn't even see that December to Dismember pay per view, but then I read
the only pay per view I've missed since I started watching pay per views.
Well, yeah,
I didn't even care that I missed it.
Wait, I didn't care either.
I watched it and it was pretty horrible.
The big story is that they fucking told Paul Heyman to go fuck himself in the middle of the pay per view, and I was like, well, that's the end of the new ECW. That's the end of the new ECW, so I can just stop watching that now.
Yeah. And then TNA was like, hey, Paul Heyman, come work for us, and Paul Heyman goes, okay, give me creative control. And they were like, no. And he was like, oh, then bye. I'm going back to WWF.
Like, oh, no creative control? All right, your company can fucking die now.
How do you say no to Paul Heyman? He's not asking to run your company with the money. We know he can't do that. Right. How do you say no to Paul Heyman and creative control?
How perfect is that? He doesn't handle the money, but he handles the business.
It's like, Brock, everyone gives Brock Lesnar shit for not being around and having a part-time schedule, but then Paul Heyman cuts a promo. My client appears when he wants to appear because he's the champion. That's what he does. And you go, oh, really? You make, that's a good point. You're right.
That's a very valid point, Paul Heyman. Maybe you're right.
You know what? I see your side of the coin, Paul.
Oh, man. Dude, Paul, it's probably one of the biggest mistakes they made since they've been in business is not just, you should have just handed it to him. Should have just gave it to him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And again, like I said before, it would have been competition.
He made the fucking Sandman a star. Fucking Sandman a star.
It was awful.
He was horrible. What happened?
But you go, Sandman, yeah, he was great. Yeah. It wasn't.
No,
but he was fine. You don't remember those classic catch-can Sandman matches?
the best thing to me about ECW was, like, now there were places that, like XPW or CZW, they're like straight up hardcore wrestling.
But and what we really should say, especially since we're talking about the Attitude Era, is ECW was the Attitude Era before the Attitude Era became the Attitude Era.
Well, the Attitude Era was essentially ECW because
it was heavily influenced by what was going on. Vince McMahon going, you know what? I'm going to steal that because nobody's watching their show, but everyone's watching mine.
Exactly. And
that's how that was born.
And the thing that made ECW perfect was he had like XPW and CZW. They're like straight hardcore places. Whereas ECW give you some hardcore. They also give you actual wrestling.
They give you fucking, you know, young Chris Jericho versus, you know, Eddie Guerrero and
Too Cold Scorpio.
Let's not talk about him again.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I just can't, I like him enough, but I can't get Flash Funk out of my head every time I hear his name.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the Flash Funk either. I like Too Cold Scorpio, like his
Flash Funk is PG Godfather, essentially.
Huh?
Flash Funk is PG Godfather.
Okay, yeah.
Speaking of PG, no PG-13, man.
Ugh. Ugh. Ah, good. Oh, man.
I wish I could burn that mind
of Flash Funk.
We are the nation. The nation. They're part of the Attitude Era. I can mention PG-13 if I like.
PG-13. We are the nation, laughing in color. Don't mess on Martian mother.
You know, fucking Jamie Dundee is like batshit crazy, dude.
Yeah, he's fucking part of PG-13.
He's he's the white Iron Sheik. I'm serious. Like, real life, he's the fucking white Iron Sheik. I watched him do a kayfabe commentaries where he chain-smoked cigarettes, drank beer, and did drugs. And just said the most crazy shit.
I don't know how influential the Attitude Era was. It made people actually like ICP.
Yeah. You are correct. You are correct. Hey, ICP
they were cool
wrestled
that one time when they were in wrestling.
ICP wrestled for everybody.
God, I hate them.
WCW, WWE. I'm not gonna lie, I liked them for like 5 years.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm glad you grew out of it, though.
It's okay. It was a mistake I made. I've accepted it. I'm okay now.
Do you go to ICP Anonymous?
Yeah. Sometimes where we have to fight the urge to put paint on
it's
our
just
face.
It should be just a one-step program where it's like, hi, my name is Mark, and I'm an ICP fan, and then you shoot yourself in the head. Because even that's less painful.
Look, man, it's an everyday struggle. Where, you know, you go to these meetings and you fight the urge to put the paint on your face.
It's been 3 days since my last makeup session. God.
Oh, fucking ICP. They're self-admitted horrible wrestlers. Like, they'll tell you that they fucking suck.
They self-admitted horrible people. By self-admitted, I mean I admit
no,
for
dude,
them.
No, there's some things I can't agree with you on. They're not horrible people. They're actually really fucking entertaining.
I can't get past them. I don't like their music, so I can't. And their shock value. It's like Family Guy for music.
You don't have to listen to their music, dude. They're fucking entertaining people. Like,
I'll give them a listen and get with an open mind.
You have to. But you have to watch. You have to watch one of those fucking Juggalo Championship Wrestling things, right? And they have a commentary with one of the guys from ICP, and then this guy does a podcast, Kevin Gill. They're fucking hilarious. Any commentary that those guys do over a wrestling match is some of the funniest shit you will ever hear.
If you can post me a link, I'll watch it with an open mind.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. Listen, you don't have to hear any of their music, because I think it's all shit too. Like, I don't like their music, but as people and entertainers, I said this more than once. Like, I think they're fucking fantastic. Like, if they're not trying to rap or play any music in my ear, I'm okay. Like, they are fucking entertaining guys, dude.
And actually, I really enjoyed their what was it? Their You Shoot video.
Yeah, dude, that shit was awesome.
They were hilarious, man. It was wild. Yeah,
they were like, they had a segment where they were talking about, like, is the girl cool or is she a whore? And fucking, they showed China's picture, and they're like, I can't tell if she's cool or she's a whore. That's a dude. They're like, that's a dude. Like, I don't know. That's a dude. All right, so I think we've exhausted our podcasting, our topics. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about? Like,
I got a segment that I actually just thought about while we were recording.
Oh my!
With it being 2015 now, I'll just ask both of you, and then I'll give my answer afterwards. For 2014, what was a highlight for you that a lot of fans, it's a two-part question, a lot of fans knew about, and then a highlight for you in pro wrestling that a lot of fans might not have known about?
Can you clarify what you mean by what they knew?
Just like it was something like pushed in the mainstream. For example, like anything in WWE that was like repeatedly shoved down our throats as fans, but it's something that was like a highlight for you that you really enjoyed.
Oh, something that happened that was a highlight or like a surprise return that nobody knew about, like that.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Good question.
And then the second part is like something that maybe was reported on maybe like a dirt sheet website or something like that that you enjoyed, but maybe like it was kind of like posted, but not really publicized a lot.
Well, I'll say this, like, because as far as that goes, like, because it came to fruition, but the signing of Kenta and Devitt and Steen would go was something that was kind of like low key and under the radar.
Yep.
Because they picked up all these indie guys.
Absolutely.
And truthfully, I knew of Kenta and Devitt. I was familiar with them, but I never really seen their matches. I've seen Steen.
Mm-hmm.
Watching Devitt, I think Devitt right now, besides Sami Zayn, is most ready to be on the main roster. Because he could adapt to any style, and he's just so good, man. Also, like the biggest one, splitting the Shield up, I guess, is a good highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, anything involving the Shield this year, the Riots, Evolution, you know, they had fantastic matches, and those are going to stand out as highlights of 2014 in wrestling for me.
Yeah.
And obviously Daniel Bryan in WrestleMania.
That was huge. Dude, I had more of a reaction to that than Undertaker losing.
Oh my God, the Undertaker losing. Holy shit, forget it. That's the one. That's the one that nobody knew about. That surprised me. I think I blocked it from my memory. That's the one. Forget what I said.
There you go.
That I still to this day can't talk about it without my jaw dropping and crying a little bit.
Dude, I didn't when that happened, I was so used to the Undertaker winning every WrestleMania that I hardly paid attention to the match.
Absolutely.
And then the three count happened, and I'm just like,
as it was not a good match. Was not the match that you want.
It was terrible.
Match.
It was a horrible match. Undertaker is like fucking dying though, so I mean,
I think that's what happened. I think that's why he's seeing that old man picture.
I also don't think there's I don't know if their styles go well together. Undertaker's a brawler, but he's also like 70, so
But here's the thing that Paul Heyman never, I don't think he brought it up during anything. Undertaker's never beaten Brock Lesnar.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. Dude, I saw, you know what, speaking of that, I just saw, like, a thing on Botchamania where it was, like, an Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar match.
Mm-hmm.
And where it was a pay-per-view or something where they fought to, like, they had a pull-apart brawl. And I guess Matt Hardy was supposed to do a run-in, and they just scratched that idea. So instead of a Matt Hardy run-in, they went with a pull-apart brawl.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, Matt Hardy, you can't even run in.
No, imagine him at the curtain, like, getting ready to run down. Like, no, we changed the plans, man. Just stay back here.
Your push is over. Your push is over. Edges with Lita. Get over it.
Oh, man.
All right. You want my answer, or do you want to go?
No, you go, Chris.
I don't know. This wasn't really low-key, but it just didn't seem believable because of the back and forth that happened the whole year and, like, the past fucking few years was Sting coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, at Survivor Series?
Yeah, because, I mean, there was a lot of false alarms throughout the last, like, since they said he signed, like, his little contract where he's going to make fucking toys and jerk off in a cup and sell it or whatever the fuck he's doing.
I don't know how you think wrestling contracts work, but I don't think that's it.
No.
Yeah. I don't think.
Oh, you just have to sign. Oh, that's right. You just have to sign your soul on the line.
Right? Yeah. No, it's Vince. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You can sign it in semen if you want.
That's what you want to do. Sure. Why not?
But when he signed, I was like, oh, maybe it's just like, you know, licensing deal or whatever. And I didn't know how deep the contract went. And then there was a couple times before Survivor Series where, like, yeah, Sting, like, fucking Meltzer, the king of false finishes, is like, yeah, Sting's going to debut tonight. Sting's debuting tonight. That happened, like, at least twice. And then it happened. I lost my shit. It was awesome. I mean,
you know, I'm gonna say this. I'm not a fan of Sting. I don't like him.
You don't like him at any stage in his career?
Well, I only know him from, because growing up in New York, you don't really get, you know, if you don't have cable, you don't get WCW on TBS.
Right.
So, and I didn't have cable. I had a black and white TV until I was like 15 years old.
Right.
So, I didn't watch him back when I was younger, admittedly. And, you know, I missed probably his best years or, you know, the reasons to like Sting.
Most likely.
I watched him in WCW become the Crow Sting and everything like that. And don't get me wrong, the Crow Sting was the only Sting I liked in the beginning because he stayed silent and he was just like that figure.
Yeah.
You know? And is that there's a quote that says, you know, it's rather to stay silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Put that into a wrestling form and that's Sting.
Absolutely.
Because once he opened his mouth, you're like, oh, fuck this guy.
Dude, the worst... I think the worst thing he did was that he went to TNA. Like, that was pretty bad.
It's the worst thing a lot of people have done.
Well, yeah, but for him, like, then they had him doing this fucking Joker thing where he was like...
Oh my god, it was terrible. Oh my god.
His fucking Heath Ledger or whatever.
It was so bad.
It was very bad. But
5 years later, they watched The Dark Knight and was like, hey, let's do that.
But... I don't know,
it's
man.
It's fucking relevant, right?
Just the way that match was going, the match was good. I just groaned over a Big Show heel turn for the 4,000th time this year. The match was just, that whole match was amazing. And then it culminated with Sting coming out and dropping Triple H. And I just, him just coming out, man.
I'll be honest, though. I think... They took way too long to introduce Sting, and I think it took away some of the impact that Ziggler's victory should have had.
Oh, it absolutely did. They did take way too
long. Like, I thought maybe, you know, like, Sting should have, instead of making a big grand entrance, which was, or maybe, you know, appear in a different segment, but for the Survivor Series, it was just have Ziggler win, because he was on fire.
Yeah, yep.
You know, and it took, like, and the referee just forgot how to count. It's like, 1, 2, oh my god, the lights are out, how do I do this?
Should I drop my hat,
bro?
What happened? Why am I not counting to 3? I'm still the referee. I'm in charge.
What? Now, what's the other question I'm answering?
Well, you answered the obscure one, maybe that people, not everyone saw or paid attention to. Is that's the one you answered with Sting?
Okay,
but what's the other one that everyone knew?
What's the big dealy for me? Now the question is, what was the big deal?
Yeah.
All right. I think the big deal this year was NXT.
Okay.
Most people, I mean, until they put it on the network, most people's like, it was a developmental place, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I've seen the best matches this year that I've ever seen, that I've seen in at least 5 to 6 years on that program. I go all the way back to the beginning of the network when they had Cesaro versus Sami Zayn. That is the best match I've seen all year.
That match was insane.
My favorite match of the year. I can appreciate what they're doing now, which is they seem to have a real system in place where you can watch the guys come up. And they're actually going after some talent. Like, it's not just like, hey, that guy, he looks like he's a bodybuilder. Pull him off the street. Let's train him how to wrestle. Like,
yeah.
Or some jerk off from a reality show. You know what I mean? Like, they're actually going to, they're scouring the indies.
I'm looking at you, Jesse from the Bromans.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. Fuck that guy right in his ass. I'd
rather not, but okay.
Okay, I mean, that's, okay, yeah, sure, you know, to each of their own. Sometimes I got that urge for Jesse Godders, man, all right?
You just gotta...
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, that's right, man.
I mean, but don't get me wrong. I kind of like bromance a lot.
Oh,
they're goofy. They're the right kind of goofy.
Yeah, they are goofy, and I kind of liked... I like Danielson Kazarian, too. Like, they kind of had a goofy side to them.
Oh, yeah. I love them.
Like, they had, like, a bromance.
Oh, I forgot their team name, but goddamn it. Bad Influence. Oh, yeah. My God, they're fantastic.
Yeah, they're great.
When I used to review the shows.
Yeah, they're great.
I write them every week. They were the fucking highlights. They were Zumbas, man. They were fucking Zumbas. It was great.
I hope to hear that they wrestle that show in Toronto for ROH, because I would definitely go.
Absolutely.
When is the show? I need to go.
It's in May.
It's in May. Research and development. Get on that now.
Yeah, it's a weekend. It's like the 4th and the 5th or something, or the 3rd and the 4th.
Looking it up.
It's a two-night pay-per-view.
May 15th and 16th.
Oh, hey, whoa! I was way off.
Yeah, you were close though. You said May. That's
put off.
May 15th and 16th.
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they have any.
That.
What's that?
I kind of want to do that,
dude. I'm fucking. I've been talking about it since last year.
Yeah, I'm gonna request off.
ROH is a fun time, man.
See what I can get.
I have my enhanced. If everybody's got their enhanced, I mean,
yeah,
I have to get it. It doesn't take long. Well, I'll forget it by May.
Oh yeah, it doesn't take long once you get the ball rolling.
Everybody, I mean, we get us together, we could all fucking pitch in and be fine for the whole weekend up there, so.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Podcast up there.
So, Mr. Loco, what's your answer to this question?
My answer is the maybe like the obscure one that maybe not a lot of people knew was Drew Galloway, a.k.a. Drew from WWE. He went back to Championship Wrestling in Scotland, and he came out and initially supposed to, and there was like a 20-minute clip to help the champion, and then he did the old school heel turn where he helped the champion, and then they were up on the entranceway. And he attacked the champion, and then he went in the ring and cut like an impassioned 10-minute promo, like from the heart, like completely, like
If you got a link of that, please post that.
I will. I'm looking at it like, holy shit, where was this guy? I mean, I understand that I'm not disrespecting him. He was, you know, the whole three-man band thing, that's what he was given. Him, Jinder Mahal, and Slater. You know, that's what they were given. When you get lemons, fucking make lemonade. Do what you need to do. Yeah, but like,
he was Sandow.
You know, absolutely. I mean, it was amazing to me. I was like, holy shit. I'll post it on Facebook for sure, and I'll tag you in it. And it's like, it's insane. It's crazy. And the on the flip side of the coin, the one that everybody knew about that I really enjoyed was the SummerSlam main event with the, 16 German suplexes?
Yeah. I was gonna bring that up if you didn't. That was one match where I was just like, I couldn't believe I was watching John Cena get destroyed.
Dude, that was a close runner up to match of the year for me.
Oh my god!
I tell you what though, as far as you say all you want, Brock Lesnar destroying John Cena like that legitimized him and then take a streak. It just made him more of a beast.
I feel like
that was the plan too. Like,
yeah,
it was kind of like, hey, John. We know that, you know, you use 5 different moves. We'll just use 2 this match.
I need you to do those moves.
Tonight, John, all you're going to do is land on your back and maybe punch and kick 1 time.
You know how to take a German suplex, yes? You know how to take 16 of them?
Okay. I don't know. He just says, and they push him out there.
Go for it, John.
He's like, oh, I gotta salute the crowd. Shit.
Oh man, I'm definitely not ready for this.
I was in that movie, so now I'm a Marine.
It's like, it was almost like that match, like it was the Quantum Leap, like Sam Beckett leapt into John Cena's body so he could lose.
Oh my god. No. That was the most perfect description of that match I've ever heard.
Oh, it's glorious.
He just, you know, the music is just, oh boy.
Holy fuck, dude. All right, Dan, continue. I'm sorry.
No, that was it. That was pretty much it. Right.
Holy fuck. You want to... You want to hit the plugs? You want to hit the plugs, the Twitters and the emails? And the
plugs, man. As always, fans, listeners, if you feel so inclined, which you haven't yet, so I'm not going to be surprised if you do, but please, if you do, you can reach us on our official Twitter. On how long your address can be. So take the E, throw it out. Our Twitter is at JRKINTHECURTAIN. Our email, we have a Gmail account, jerkinthecurtain@gmail.com. Please, if you don't know how to spell that, go to our official Facebook page. You'll know how to spell it. Other than that, if you're bored, find various podcasts other than ours to listen to. There's a lot of them that are great.
They all suck compared.
Absolutely. But if you want to listen to us, you can find us on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher Radio. So there's multiple ways for you to listen to us. And I don't know. Listen to a couple of guys have pro wrestling ADD and occasionally have guests on. I really liked how this worked out, and we'll definitely do this again in the future and have repeat guests. And
yeah, this is definitely awesome.
This is really cool. Definitely a new
wrinkle. My Twitter that I never use, at FozzyMB. Fozzy like the Muppets, MB like the letters M and B.
Go.
There it is.
I promise that if you tweet me from if you hear about it from the podcast and you tweet me, I will follow you back. That means nothing, beautiful. But still.
Beautiful. That means nothing.
But I get followed by Goldust, so that helps.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he'll follow you on Twitter. He won't follow you down the street.
Not on the Jerk in the Curtain Twitter, but on my personal Twitter, at Dan Bullock 622. Well, I don't know. Whatever my personal Twitter is, I think I gave you the wrong address. I'm followed by Cliff Compton, if that counts for anything.
I'm followed by Daniel Bryan.
You
go. What? Away. Okay, you win.
You win.
Hey guys, hold on. Don't get crazy. All right. When Nigel McGuinness was doing the Kickstarter for his documentary,
mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan said if you tweeted him proof that you donated to the Kickstarter, he would follow you. So,
well, I got followed by Goldust because I bought his book and he did a thing on Twitter saying if you took a picture of you holding his book in the bathroom, he'd follow you.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
And I got followed by Rikishi because Rikishi follows everybody apparently.
Yeah.
Rikishi Fatu.
Actually, I think I did give the right Twitter for my personal one, Dan the Bull 622. But by all means, listeners, if you want to follow that and read the bullshit that I occasionally tweet, by all means, feel free.
I did it for The Rock.
I did it for The Rock.
I did it for the people. I did it for The Rock.
I'll never forget that. It's so bad.
Oh, man.
Any final thoughts, fellas? Anything?
Did we get all the plugs in?
I think we got all the plugs in. I think we plugged
them out. I have no other plugs.
Yeah, you got all the plugs?
If you're a fan of other things other than just pro wrestling, for example, horror, you listen to Dizzo and Jay Crimson Jester and Tiffany on the Witching Hour Horror Podcast, which also has a Facebook page. You can find all of us on the Shooting the Mainstream Facebook page. And last but not least, the producer of our show, who also has his own podcast, Relentless, and you can find him on the Shooting the Mainstream. That's all the plugs now, directly and indirectly.
All right. Well, I guess that's our show.
That's it.
I guess I thank you guys for listening, but we're not live. But thanks for listening when I post this.
Thanks for listening when it's uploaded and you do listen.
You made it past this far. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to thank our guest. You're awesome.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Anytime you'd like to have me.
I might have you every fucking time because this was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Hey man, I'd be down for that, to be honest.
Absolutely. Yeah, this was really awesome.
This is really awesome. And in closing, I just want to say for everyone, here's to 2015, and let's hope it kicks ass.
All right, peace out, guys.
In the words of Wild Stallions, be excellent to each other.
<All right>. We're out of here.
Totally, we're out of here. Peace.